Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. This morning I'm ministering halfway on a topic because of time, the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. I've been doing a kingdom series, and I hope you can get something and it will impact on your lives. Amen. And I'm beginning, and I'm going halfway, the keys of the kingdom. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, 2 to 21 says, for this reason, that's Paul speaking. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Everyone says amen.
Amen.
That's Paul. He wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he let them know he was praying for them. He says, anytime I remember you, I remember the things that God is working amongst you. I go on my knees and I pray for you. Hallelujah. Pastor Musa prays for you. I pray for you. And Paul mentioned 7 things he says that he's asking the Father to do in the Ephesian church. He mentioned 7 things. Number 1, he says that God will grant to you according to the riches of his glory. That God will grant to you according to the riches of his glory. To grant means to allow or to allow someone someone's request. To grant something to someone is to allow his request, to agree to his request. Amen. So Paul is saying, I'm asking that the Lord will allow your request, and as a result, pour from the riches of his glory to you. Grant to you according to the riches of his glory. Answer your prayers according to the riches of his glory. God has much, much, much more than you can ask for. Amen. And when you ask God something and he begins to answer, and he answers according to his riches in glory, not according to the world's economy. God does not answer you according to the world's economy. He does not answer you according to the system of the world, according to anyone's bank account or anyone's pocket. He answers according to his riches in glory. Paul, he prayed for the church in Philippi. And he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. It's unlimited resources there. Abundant supply there. So if there's anyone who has been seeking the face of God for something to happen, may God grant to you that request. And grant it according to his riches in glory. When the manifestations are revealed, may people see and say, wow. May it go beyond your strength. May it go beyond your capacity. May it go beyond the expectations of men over you. In the name of Jesus, may it stand out so that everyone will see that this is the finger of God in your life. If you are with me, say amen to that. To grant, I checked the dictionary, and another dictionary says, grant is an amount of money usually given by someone or an organization to do a particular project, and this money is not earned. An organization or a government just giving you a grant. Go and do your PhD. This is a grant. Go. What do you want to do? What project do you want to do? Do you want to go to Africa and build wells? Take this money. Go and do it. Hallelujah. Someone giving you a dash. Do you know the word dash? Is it a broken English? Dash. So some people here may not understand what that means. Jethro may not know what dash means. Dash means to just give someone freely what he does not even deserve to have. Hallelujah. May God do that in your life. Bring the kind of resources for your projects, for your dream house, for your dream pet project. May God bring those resources to you. And when the resources are coming, may they come according to the resources in heaven. Amen. If you are with me, say amen on that. Amen. That's Paul's one prayer, that God will grant to you according to the riches of his glory. And number two, he says, and I am praying for you to be strengthened in the inner man by his spirit. I'm asking that God will strengthen your inner man. You see, we have an inner being. The Bible teaches that may God keep you sanctified and preserve you spirit, soul, and body. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body and he possesses a soul. But the real you is your spirit. And death occurs when the spirit departs. As the body without the spirit is dead, the Bible says, on the day of death, the spirit, the real you, the man inside you, just comes out. The inner man comes out. And this container becomes lifeless. It goes back to dust. The real you came from God. It got its essence in God. You see, what happened was that on the day of creation, the sixth day, God said to himself, I want to make someone in my image and after my likeness, that he will have dominion over all that I've made. And God stooped down, the Bible says, and molded this form from the dust of the earth. And he looked at it, it was beautiful. And he breathed into him, the Bible said, the spirit of life. Put inside him spirit. He took and he put it into that clay and it stood up. A man. Hallelujah. That's the real you. That's your sustainer. That's what determines how you fear in life, the height you rise to in life. It determines your success. When the spirit is lean, you are weak, you are helpless. You can't overcome sickness. You are subjugated by demon spirits. You are limited in life. As prosperous as your spirit is, it determines every other aspect of your life. Hallelujah. So Paul says, I constantly pray for you that God will strengthen that spirit. God will make you spiritually sound, spiritually whole, sharp, and healthy. Hallelujah. Your spirituality, the health of the inner man determine your ability to hear God. Your ability to work with God. You see, God works with the spirit, not the flesh. Hallelujah. Not with the soul. God connects with the spirit. This is why the Bible says the spirit of God beareth witness with our soul. The spirit of God beareth witness with our bodies. The spirit of God does what? Beareth witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. You are able to obey God, walk by faith, walk in victory, defeat sickness and diseases, destiny concerning you here on earth, dependent on how robust your spirit man is. Hallelujah. And I'm asking that God will strengthen your spirit. Amen. God will strengthen your spirit. And this should bring you to that place where you begin to pay particular attention on building your spirit. A lot of us Christians have lean spirit. Our spirit is not robust, it's not fat, it's lean. Because we are not feeding the spirit. Hallelujah. And how do you make your spirit fat, sharp, and strong? By feeding it. By making sure that your spirit does not starve. That you give the spirit its food. What's the spirit food? The word of God. Hallelujah. The word of God feeds the spirit. It energizes your spirit, man. It keeps it alert and sharp. And that's why a believer must feed on the word of God daily. The word of God must be to a believer as water is to fish. It must be very important to you. For man shall not live by bread alone. Bread feeds the flesh, but the word that comes from God feeds your spirit. And when your spirit is strengthened, you will succeed in life. Help me say to your neighbor, feed your spirit. Don't starve it. You feed your spirit by studying the word of God. Number three, Paul says, and I'm praying for you that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Now, Paul is not ignorant that every believer already at conversion becomes the temple of God. Amen. Paul understood that he was speaking to people who already carry Christ inside them. Every one of us here who is born again has Christ dwelling inside him. If you believe with me, say amen.
Amen.
Say, I have Jesus on the inside of me. I am God's temple, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Say amen.
Amen.
But Paul is saying that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You know, it's a faith thing. What Paul is trying to say is that you and I need to come to that place where no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, we are conscious of his presence by faith. Hallelujah. That by faith I know that he's here with me. It's a faith thing. You see, the devil wants you to think that Christ is far away, especially when things become tough, rough, and difficult. He wants to think that Christ is far away. From you. But by faith, you need to be aware constantly, whether in the daytime when things are going smoothly, or in the nighttime when things have become messy and rough. In times of plenty and in times of trials, times of challenges, he wants you to know that Christ is with you. He will never leave you. Jesus promised us, nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Things don't go wrong because Christ has left you. Jesus is right inside you. Say, I am God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. I am God's dwelling place. It's a faith thing. I must never come to that place where I'm afraid and I'm shouting, God, where are you? Where are you? How come this has happened? Where are you, Lord? Why have you forgotten me? Why have you abandoned me? Never come there. By faith, he is with you in your heart. Hallelujah. It's a faith thing. Number four, Paul says, I'm praying for you. He says, number one, I pray for you that God will grant to you according to the riches of his glory. And I pray for you to be strengthened in the inner man. And I am praying for you that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. I pray that you will be rooted and grounded in love. You know, I said here, being rooted means to be firmly planted, just like a plant does, such that you are drawing nutrients from the soil of love for your sustenance or survival. The ground or soil which the plant draws nutrient from determines its well-being. If the ground on which you are planted is love and you are firmly rooted, you will draw out love, will exist and live out love. I don't know if it makes sense to someone, but Paul is saying, Look, one of the things I'm praying for you is that you will be grounded. In other words, planted on the surface of love, the ground on which you are planted, on which you are growing, is called love. Am I painting the picture to you? The ground on which you are planted and you are growing, the ground is called love. And I'm praying that you also be deeply rooted in that ground called love, such that you are established in love, growing stronger in love, and your essence. You see, everything of the tree, its stem, its branches, its leaves, is dependent on what it's drawing from the soil on which it's planted. Hallelujah. Paul says, I want you to be planted in love such that your entire life is full of love. You are drinking out of love. Amen. I pray love will take hold of you, everybody, such that you dream love, you think love, you talk love, you walk love, you interact with people, you deal with people, you relate with people, all out of love. Your motive and motivation, it's all love. Hallelujah. When that is how the believer is growing, love becomes his natural domain. Love becomes his natural way of life because he's planted and rooted in it. He draws his nutrient or source of sustenance out of that base. And he can no longer not love. He cannot not love. He cannot hate anyone or love anyone, irrespective of who the person is, irrespective of where the person comes from, irrespective of the person's worldview, values, belief, even sexual orientation. It does not really matter to a Christian, because his essence, where he draws from, is love. He cannot but love. I pray that bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, dislike for people will never be associated with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may not like certain behaviors. You may not like the way some people do things, but it will not change what you feel about them, how you deal with them. A believer never hates or dislike people. He may dislike certain behaviors, but he never dislikes people, because he's rooted and grounded in love. Love is his sustenance. Hallelujah. You don't do that to non-believers. Wicked people out there, you don't hate them. Talk less of those in the brotherhood. That there is a fellow child of God that you cannot love, you cannot accept. You know, it's a problem, right? The Bible says, he that does not dwell in love does not know God. Because God is love. You see, one of the first things the Holy Spirit does when he comes into a believer, One of the first things, let me tell you, you may not agree with me, but that's true. You know, the first thing the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer actually is not to break sin. He doesn't come and begins to combat sin in the believer and breaks, because he knows that it's to naturally not be possible. When the Holy Spirit comes into a believer, you know the first thing he does? God bless. I know you're a Bible scholar. What's the first thing the Holy Spirit does in the believer? He shares broadly, widely. He consumes the believer's heart with what? With love. You see, because in this testament, there is only one law. And we cannot keep laws. Human beings will practically break laws. Wherever there is a law, we'll break them. Naturally, we'll break laws. Hallelujah. But there's only one law in the new covenant. Do you know what that law is? The law of love. So what the Holy Spirit does to enable us live out God's law, he sheds abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So the first thing you notice about someone who is converted, who is born again, is that he loves God. Oh, he just loves God. He wants to please God. Even though physically he struggles with some things, it takes a while before he overcomes this, overcomes that. Transformation takes a process. But there's that love for God, that love for people. Hallelujah. You have to be rooted and grounded in it. Put your hand on your chest with me. Say, I have the Holy Spirit inside me. And the Holy Spirit sheds abroad love in my heart. The love of God fills my heart. It permeates it. Love is my nature. Love is the way I think. Love is the way I do things. Love is my influence. Love is my motivation. I walk by love because I live in love. In the name of Jesus, love is my nature. Amen. You have to believe God to be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. There are people that will never change, and you will encounter them. And these people have decided that they're going to go to hell. Don't let them drag you with them to hell. Amen. You have to choose to love. Hallelujah. Agape. The love of God is unconditional. Agape, the love of God is unending. Many waters cannot quench it. It never dies. It suffers long. It is patient. It beareth all things. And it keepeth not records of wrong. That's love. And that's who you are. May it take hold of you completely in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number 5, Paul says, I'm praying for you, and I pray for you always, so that you will be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Hallelujah. I'm praying for you, church in Ephesus, that you'll be able to comprehend with all saints. In other words, Paul is saying, look, I don't want you to be behind. I've gone round churches and I can see some believers somewhere are flourishing. They are doing well. Hallelujah. They are prospering. They are advancing in their work with God. I don't want you to come behind. Whatever I see God doing in other people's lives, I want to see it happening to you too. Hallelujah. And this is my prayer for all of you here this morning, that you will not come behind. Amen. Hallelujah. That you will grow together with all the saints. Whatever God is doing in someone's life, I pray that God will do for you as well. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Paul is saying, I desire that you will come to understand the deeper things of God. There is so much of God that we can uncover. So much about God. He said, as I look at you, I think you are scratching from the surface. You are functioning at the periphery of the things of God. You have revelation knowledge. Yeah, glory be to God. But those knowledge, revelation knowledge, are elementary. They're shallow. You think you have understanding of the word? You can go deeper. You think you're doing well, you're working with God, you can go deeper more. Amen. The time that any one of us begins to think that we are all right spiritually, we'll run into trouble. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your chest and say, Lord, I need more of you. Lord, help me know more of you. Help me uncover more about you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's Paul's prayer, for you to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. And is what the Lord is showing me about this. I don't know if everybody's able to grab it. But there is this level, spiritual level, that God wants us to rise to. Hallelujah. We are not where God wants us to be functioning at. When we get to that spiritual level, then we will know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. Hallelujah. We'll come to that place where we begin to see the love of Jesus and understand the love of Jesus and feel the love of Jesus in a way that words cannot explain it. Amen. You see, sometimes when believers, or let me use the word, when some preachers, sometimes I hear some preachers talk about the love of God. And the way they talk about the love of God, you think that they're trying to license some ungodly behavior. Praise the Lord. But actually, the love of God for you, you cannot comprehend it. You cannot grasp it. When the Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? The Bible is not saying, it's not speaking that what can make you not love God? What the Bible is saying is that what can happen, what can ever happen to you that will make God stop loving you? But if there's anything I want you to take home with this morning, is that God's love is beyond description. It's beyond human knowledge. God loves you so much. Beyond the measure you can quantify. It's unconditional, it's unending. And he loves you such that he can never, ever abandon you. You understand this measure of love as you get closer to God, as you begin to understand the depth, the width, and the height of the spiritual things that God wants you to understand. And it brings you to verse number 7, to prayer point number 7. That you will be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. That you will be filled with all the fullness of God. That you will begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That you begin to understand the power of redemption. That you begin to function in the miraculous acts of God. Hallelujah. That you will become undestructible? Is it on or in? Indestructible. You cannot be destroyed by the devil because you're walking in the fullness of God. There are no impossibilities before you. Your faith level is heightened at the level of God's faith. You can say it's not possible. It is possible. Hallelujah. The fullness of God. I pray that we will all walk in the fullness of God. Is it possible? It's possible to be filled with the fullness of God. I'm full of God emotionally. I'm full of God spiritually. I'm full of God bodily. I'm functioning on earth as God. Amen. I cannot be hindered. I cannot be stopped. I cannot be limited. I cannot be subjugated by the devil. I cannot be brought down by the enemy. Being filled with the fullness of God means to partake of all that there is for us to partake in God. When we are filled with the fullness of God, we operate in the fullness of joy. We walk in victory over sicknesses and diseases, over defeat, over failure, over fear, and over the power of death. In the fullness of God, we operate on a higher knowledge, on a higher wisdom, and in the power of the Spirit. The fullness of God enables us to operate above principalities and powers. And the scripture says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, we get to that place of where we are completely walking in the power of Christ, in the authority of Christ, above principality and power, demons and all agents of the enemy cannot just understand us when we receive the fullness of God. Hallelujah. When we receive the fullness of God. May we all be able to get there. Glory be to God. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Please bow down your heads. I don't know in which way I've ministered to you. I'm going to pick it up next time from here. I don't know if it makes sense at all to anyone what I've ministered this morning. I don't know if you have received something, but in the light of what you have received, please pray. You are not there yet. You're not doing well enough spiritually. You can do more. You can do better. You can do better. We cannot remain where we are. We cannot play religion. There is a level that you and I must rise to spiritually, so we can fulfill our destiny here on earth. We cannot exit this world not accomplishing the reason for which you and I were created. You are a sign and a wonder to your generation. You are a blessing. You are a miracle to this world. Satan cannot just understand you. There's something about you that Satan can't understand. Your light will never go dim. You cannot die before your time.